right, welcome back for the 7 o'clock hour. Dave Hyden from the Sun Sentinel. As we continue on from, I got to tell you, if you can get past how you feel about certain teams or certain players, you get two overtime games with plenty to talk about, blown calls, challenges, stupid plays, great kicking, unbelievable plays, coaching, all the things that a good football game brings and gives you plenty to talk about. You got it all yesterday with the road team, both road teams winning in overtime. Just unbelievable.
Road team hadn't won a championship game since 2013. I mean, it'd been 10 games of home combined AFC, yeah, NFC, and yet both road teams won yesterday. And just great games. Now, you can break them all down because it's a good thing there's 2 weeks to the Super Bowl.
Could have gone either way. Which, by the way, I think everybody thought this, and we talked about it last week. Right, DQ, we were talking about these games could have gone either way last week. I know we got to pick them because that's the business we're in, but, man, it's like you can make an argument. You can make a strong case for any one of those four teams before the game and why they were going to win. Home field to start with is big because Kansas City and New Orleans are really loud. They're both – all those teams are really good at home. I mean, you could have made it, and then, you know, Brady hadn't been as good on the road, although yesterday he was really good, and they put together – always seemed to put together great game plans. So is that more about coaching yesterday or just the players playing in the game for you? There's some great players.
That's hard to – I would say the way it was decided, it was the players. Because I don't When Mahomes puts up 31 points in the second half and Brady has to answer, and players are making – Brady's making great throws. The Patriots are making great catches and time after time. So I'd say it's about players.
Yeah.
What do you? You're on the inside there more than
– I just think with Belichick, I just think he outcoaches everybody. To shut out Kansas City for half, even though you're right, they score 31 a second. I mean, literally, that's unbelievable.
How about this, Joe?
Shut him out in the first half at home?
Here's a play. If you're Sean Payton, you've gone down twice against the Rams close. Early in the game, kick two field goals. You go down a third time and you go for it on fourth down. Why don't you kick the field goal the third time? These are the little things that if I'm a coach, it would drive me crazy. Now, you know, should he have gone the first two times on fourth down?
He should have pounded. They should have opened that game up, and of course they didn't. They should have been jumped way out in front.
Yeah.
To start that game, because it was really frustrating. What else you got, DQ? What do you got for us?
It's time now for your chance to win $1,000. It's WQAM's $1,000 Slapshot. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word SAINT to 72881, and you're registered. Text SAINT, S-A-I-N-T, to 72881 now. If you don't win this time, your next chance is at the top of the next hour. WQAM's $1,000 Slapshot is sponsored by Andujar and Levine Accident Attorneys. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Joe.
All right. Good stuff, DQ. Don't forget, you always got a chance to win $1,000, top of 7, 8, 9 o'clock hour, and the rest of the day here on 560 WQAM. Today is kind of crazy. So it's Martin Luther King Day, so a lot of people have the day off. And there's something that goes on here. It can be very dangerous, but it will be one of our lead stories all day. And that's all these motorcycles back flying around, usually mostly in Miami. And so yesterday I was watching the news, and the police officers were all, you know, got out there and go, "Hey, we're not going to tolerate this. We will arrest you if you're running stop signs and screaming and yelling and on one wheel and driving crazy." They're going to do it again today.
What is the backstory
to this? Started a few years ago. I don't know what the story is. And they're crazy. Like, some of these guys going down the freeway 70, 80 miles an hour on their back wheel.
Anybody who's driven 95 much has seen that, but there's a lot of them in these couple days,
well,
right? It's not just an isolated.
Yeah, they're not big on stoplights. That's not one of their favorite things, the stoplights in downtown. They run those. They go between cars. I mean, they're doing their own thing. I guess they're trying to crack down on them, but if there's a whole bunch of them, I don't know. Look like they're and the police in a really tough situation. First of all, you chase one of them, they get hurt, and you know, I don't know. I don't
you
know
ever
that,
you ever ride a motorcycle? You ever never did?
No. Wouldn't trust myself. I had a roommate that had a Harley. That was his, and he got around on a Harley. But no, I wouldn't jump on that bad boy. But these guys are really good. Have you seen the way they drive? They drive front wheel, back wheel, stand up on their bikes while they're going. I mean, and once they see the cameras, like WSVN's going down the street, they see them and go, "Hey, hold on, you haven't seen this one yet." Then the guy stands up on his, you know, his back leg and stands up on top and is balancing and screaming at people. And, you know, it makes for great video for news. But, yeah, that's what today. And I just love the police already. All right, we're just warning you. We're not going to tolerate it this year. What do you mean? You tolerate it every year because they keep doing it.
There's too many they of come them. In, you can't pull them all over.
They come in from everywhere, man, with the crazy bastards.
See, I drove a tow truck for about 5 years.
Did you really?
Yeah, but I got money, and I rode a motorcycle one summer.
You weren't part of the South Beach tow, were
nothing
you?
Like, no, I wish I had thought of that, but no, but once in a while I'd have
that
to tow.
Funny.
Once in a while there would be a motorcycle in an accident, and you'd have to go and you'd pick it up with a tow, and that was not a pretty sight, and that cured me of any desire of wanting to ride a motorcycle.
The guy died, Mr. Officer, he's done. Yeah, he didn't make it. Yeah. No, all that stuff. Dave, I couldn't do that towing job because you get somebody when they're standing there and they're like, "Oh, hell no, you're not taking this car."
Well, that happened.
Hey, kid, you better put my car down right now. What's this for? I just went inside. I was gone 5 minutes. I come out and you're towing. You need to put it back down now.
Worst part was repossessions. I'd ride with a Doberman. Oh. I'd go with a Doberman and have the window open in the passenger side. And if someone came out at me, I'd whistle and that Doberman would be at my side.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be a crazy, be some great stories about that. My job in college was the alumni had different jobs. So if you wanted to stay down there, and they like you down there in the summers, even back then, so you could work out with the team and we were doing 7-on-7 during the summer and all that stuff. They still do, but obviously a lot more of it now. And I had a Budweiser. I was a fill-in Bud driver, truck driver.
Nice.
And I wasn't very good at that.
I bet.
No, I was. I don't want to get into all
the truck
details.
Didn't make its scheduled rounds.
The truck was just... One day I came out of, and you know, I didn't lock the back. I came out and these guys were emptying their cars in the thing. And one of them was daring me to come over there. And I was like, man, that guy might have a gun. There's no way. I was in Oakland. I had the Oakland-Berkeley route. And I was like, hey, man, you take all the damn beer you want. Let me know when you're done so I can drive. Can you leave me a little bit, though? Yeah, just that wasn't the best job. And then, of course, my boys were like, come on, man. You can lose a couple cases. Nobody's going to notice. I don't know, man.
This is the football tough program job. Set you up with this tough job, or is this something you just went out and applied for and got on your
no,
own?
No.
You were
if
set
you
up,
wanted to work during the summer.
They would have jobs for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked at a car dealership one summer, did the car dealership. All the
cars?
Alums, man. Like, you know, the guy that had the Bud distributorship was a big cow guy, the guy that owned a bunch of car dealerships and around in the Bay Area and gave you a job there. So you just did different stuff. I never got those jobs always heard of, like the guys that got the jobs at colleges, turn on the sprinklers.
Make sure it comes on.
Turn
it's
the lights
automatic.
On. Yeah. Make sure, you know.
That was the quarterbacks got those jobs, huh?
Put the lines on the field, even though there was no football going on in the summer. Yeah, all those jobs. I didn't get any of those great jobs. By the way, yesterday, just an unbelievable night of football. To Tom Brady's going back to his 31st Super Bowl.
5 and 6 years. Five, that's just staggering. 5 and 6 years for the Patriots. I was thinking, I used to like George Clooney was sort of the all had it all made in life. I think it's Tom Brady now. The all guy who's got everything going for him.
Does he look like he's ready to retire?
Do you see him in the interviews afterwards? It's still almost this aw shucks Jimmy Stewart routine, and yet he's bringing all his teammates into it.
It's incredible. If somebody would have told you before the year started or early when you were watching them, and we're looking at the best teams and everybody was saying, and we should all stop doing this because I've done it too. They're done. Nah, they're a step below the best teams.
I thought this was the year.
And, man, they come back and they play great. I thought the Miami Miracle might do something, and Miracle in Miami, and it just all it did was just get them motivated. They lose the following week to Pittsburgh, and then it was like, all right, here we go. It's time to get going and play great.
They came out and took it away right at the start from the Chiefs had everything on their side, and the Patriots go up, was it 14? No, 7-0, I guess.
Just the numbers. How about these numbers, by the way, for the Patriots? And I was just curious, looking at the final numbers like I do going on a bus before I get to the airport and just looking at everything. Patriots ended up with 36 first downs to 18 for Kansas City, 524 yards to 290. Patriots were 13 of 19 on third down. Time of possession, 44 to 20. Well, they doubled them in numbers. Like, it's not like the Patriots shouldn't have won that game.
I think it's the play count. I looked up after the game. It was like 90 to 47. I mean, it's staggering that the Chiefs were in it. But you look at their first meeting, 43-40, I believe it was earlier this year. It was the same way. The Patriots dominated by numbers.
And then at the end of that drive last night, just ran it right down their throat. They broke Kansas City and just said, all right, go back to the running game. And it was done. Easy touchdown. That was it. Ball game. But you're right. They wore them down. Kansas City's defense got exposed a little bit, that it's not very good, even though they got a great pass rushers.
I would say the Patriots' defense got exposed, too. Hey, whoever won that coin toss in overtime was going to win the game.
Yes. Oh, no question.
Because if Mahomes gets the ball, they're going right down the field, just like the Patriots.
No, I agree. That was probably going to happen, too. You're exactly right. Anyway, we got to go to break here. All kinds of stuff. By the way, Panthers. And Miami Heat back in action tonight. Panthers with Trocheck back have now gone 2-0. Could Vinny be the difference? And, of course, the Heat at Boston today. NBA basketball all day long. So if you got time, you want to just get a serious NBA fix, Heat and Celtics at 6 o'clock tonight in Boston. Serena Williams, by the way, I saw she beat Halep this morning when I came in. Real fun match to watch. So Serena is playing at a ridiculous level. Looks like she keeps playing like this, she's going to win another major. Speaking of greatest of all time, what she's doing is unbelievable.
Naomi Osaka won't stand in her way. I think we got the young guns coming for her, like they're going for Brady.
That could be, but I'll tell you, Halep was number one in the world and went three sets today, but Serena, she is just playing out of this world right now. She really is. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to. Want to tell you, though, before we get rolling here, and you can join us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, 56022. Give us your thoughts on yesterday. And of course, one of the worst calls, no calls in the history of the National Football League. Well, no problems when you go to your South Florida Chevy dealers. I just want to talk to everybody out there. Let me see. Oh, your lease is up on your truck, your SUV, or your car. You're starting to look around, putting a list together, want to start shopping around, going to some dealerships, taking a look, taking some test drives. Well, make sure you put South Florida Chevy dealers on that list. This is the best it's ever been. 2019, into 2018, 2019, best overall products, best looking lots in the history of the Chevrolet family, 14 dealerships throughout South Florida, so you don't have to travel a long way to get to one today and find out more about all the things important to you and your family, because we can go through that list every day. Great price, great look. Those got to be at the top. You want something that looks really good that you and your family can really enjoy with a great price. It's not going to break the bank every month. And then on top of that, safety features, fuel economy, the new technology, and plenty of space for you and the whole family. We got it right now, man, from the Chevy Malibu over to the Suburbans and Silverado trucks. Man, we got the truck for you because we got so many different style trucks. The Silverado, they're durable. They got the steel bed. You don't have to worry about them breaking down. Tahoe's, Equinox, Traverse, to the Camaros and Corvette. We got something for everybody in the whole family. Find out for yourself. Take a test drive, and when you sit down and look what it's going to cost you every month, you can thank me later. Thanks to your South Florida Chevy dealers.
They played us a lot of man-to-man in the last part of the game, and it was obvious. And again, at times we hit them, at times we didn't. They gave us some three-man rush. It was a lot of four-man rush with, you know, Houston, Jones, and Ford. And those are, you know, tough matchups. I thought our line did a great job of standing up to those guys and, you know, giving Tom a chance to deliver the ball. And there's no one guy that can beat this team. You need contributions from everybody, and we got them tonight. Coaches, they have to do a great job. So.
Yeah! Tell you what. Belichick and Brady had it rolling again yesterday as we get set now for 2 weeks of yap about the Patriots and Rams, Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. Two overtime road wins. That's got to be a first. I know they broke the records for amount of points scored in a conference game in the fourth quarter, but there had to be all kinds of records. Two overtime games in the championship conference, never happened before. But I wonder when's the last time two road teams won in a conference championship. That's got to be a long time, too.
Well, I know they hadn't won a road game since 2013, anybody. So
for two of them to do it
we'll have to go back to the history books for that.
Pretty amazing.
About this? You get the longest tenured coach in Belichick going to the Super Bowl and the youngest coach in a Super Bowl in Sean McVay. So there's, you know, a lot of contrast going on.
I thought McVay, I was second-guessing him on the TV. Anybody do any second-guessing? Fourth and like a half of what,
oh yeah,
under
yeah, he kicked
yard.
The field goal. Yeah,
he kicked the field goal, and I go, hey, Mr. Young, aggressive,
exactly.
Cool, banging hot girl. I mean, with the hot, what's this about?
That went against form, didn't it? It was like he's like
now
choking
you're
up in
like,
the big moment.
Tie it when you got a chance to go up four.
And even if they don't get it, say they get stopped, they got them pinned down there. Their defense is playing pretty well. They'll still get a short field getting the ball back. So that was one I did second guess on.
I was surprised by that. That one really, really surprised me. And of course, the hot topic's going to be is the whiff, the no call, bad look. It's getting ripped. The National Football League's getting ripped. The whole play, basically, it's a ball game. Saints got screwed. I mean, they got screwed by a blatant pass interference. Forget the helmet to helmet. I don't think anybody's going to call helmet to helmet late in a game in a conference championship game. But, boy, I'll tell you. Now, I know when you're out there, and officiating's hard. I could never be an official. It's hard. You got big guys. They're running around. Things are happening fast on that field. You want to make sure you get in position. You don't want to get hit. Everything else is going through your mind. But I would like to think that if I was out there in either one of the positions to see it, on top of it or the guy that's 20 feet from it that's watching it, somebody would say, hey, man, that's blatant pass interference.
See, that's the thing. There were two officials in position to make that call. And that is, even in real time, watching on television, it looked, wait, that was such obvious pass interference. Why wasn't that called?
And he destroyed the guy. It wasn't like he was trying to hide. He just absolutely decided to light him up. Like, you're not winning on this play. And he got away with it. And that play, and then the other play, that we shouldn't even be talking about the Patriots winning that game. Dee Ford, the outside linebacker, pass rusher, really good pass rusher, lined up offsides, and Brady throws the interception. That's game. They win.
See, to me, that's the worst play because that's lining up. Lining up. That's little league stuff. That's
lack of discipline. I know you want to get a good pass rush, but they're told all the time, don't jump offsides, and even worse than jumping offsides is lining up offsides. There's just no reason. It's like a receiver jumping offsides out wide because you just watch the ball. You're not listening to snap count. All you do is watch when the ball snapped and you go when you're out wide because you're used to where you can't hear anyway. It's just
– that's like in baseball where there's an error and the big hitter gets another pitch. and you're giving Tom Brady extra plays to beat you, which you have to play a perfect game to beat the Patriots.
I said ball game after that. After that thing got tipped and intercepted, and you saw, and they showed D Ford, and then they showed about three up close shots of D Ford with that embarrassed look on his face, knowing he just screwed up. You knew Brady was, this is done. It's bad enough trying to stop Brady on the last drive, and they put those stats, last second drives in playoffs, last second drives in everything. His resume is to the point. We did a show on Friday, three greatest players of all time in the National Football League. And a lot of people weighed in. Just three greatest players, and I had Brady, I had Jerry Rice. And even though the stats aren't the greatest, I just think Lawrence Taylor was the one guy that changed the way you play defense. Those were my three guys. And I'm not saying Joe Montana shouldn't be in there.
What about Jim Brown, Joe?
Jim Brown.
No, I never saw him play.
My dad did, Jim Brown. Yeah. My dad, I actually, in those conversations with my father where we shoot the breeze, 99% gets to sports. Jim Brown's his guy. But you're right.
With Brady, you know, Colin Coward, who another radio guy, he came out with a tweet after the game. It was the funniest tweet. He had to be joking. But it was funny. He said, after this game, there's no doubt Tom Brady is in the top 10 players of all time. That was such a troll job because it was so – he's making fun, right?
Yeah, well, I hope so. I mean, I hope that he's not on a show today or tomorrow when he comes back and says that he's in my top 10. It's just – it's so stupid. I don't want to hear arguments about, well, the game's changed. And
Game over, yeah. Right? Greatest quarterback of all. He didn't need yesterday, but the fact he's just piling on the numbers and the moments and the big passes, and now the Super Bowls again. I mean, five Super Bowls in 6 years, much less he's already won five.
So there is this, though, that pops up, and this is more a Boston topic, but I think it's very legit. Is that win yesterday more about Belichick and his game plans on both sides of the football or more about Brady just taking the game and so good? And by the way, the one stat that should never be overlooked was what they did on a third down, 13 of 19. Dolphins, of course, second worst team in the National Football League every year with Adam Gase as the head coach. They were just terrible on third down. Brady was 13 of 19 on third down, and at the end of the game, you saw him because a lot of them were going to Edelman, few to Gronk, few to James White, but they were getting first downs.
Now, you just had to listen to Tony Romo. He'd tell you where it was going. I think Tony Romo was getting tipped off to the play count because how could he know?
Tony Romo put up an all-star. What he did yesterday was amazing.
And I know people have been critical of him. I don't listen to him enough to be critical or praseworthy, but yesterday – I was sitting in front of the TV for 3 hours. I thought he was great. I thought it was a great.
Some of the old play-by-play guys do not like guys trying to predict what's going to happen on a play. Let it happen and critique it, talk about it, but don't get in a habit. And he does it because he feels confident to get out there and go, oh, this is going. This is going to Edelman.
He's a quarterback, and he's telling you what he's seeing, which in that moment – of a big game, okay, what is Brady thinking? Where's the matchup he's looking for?
So let me ask you, is it more about Belichick or is it more about Brady? Just getting back. Because there are schemes that they're running defensively.
Well, yes.
What they did to the Chargers, what they did in the first half to Kansas. Kansas City got shut out in the first half. Now they damn near.
31 points in the second half. Though.
But they shut them out.
They shut them out. I think yesterday I would have to say because of the way the game played, it was more about Brady. But I think, and again, I mentioned Aaron Rodgers before. Aaron Rodgers won Super Bowl and not even making the playoffs this year. It's up and down. The organization, the big picture scheme, the fact for 18 years the Patriots have been up there every year is about Belichick. So you can't have one without the other in my mind. But yesterday to me was about Brady.
Who do you think had a more talented roster?
The Chiefs.
What about the week before the Chargers?
Absolutely, the Chargers. Absolutely. But
they got hammered.
How do the Patriots do it with mediocre talent? I mean, you take Chris Hogan off the Patriots or Julian Edelman off the Patriots, and look, the Dolphins had basically Julian Edelman this year, right? And Danny Amendola, very nice player, great guy. you want him on your team, but you put him on the Patriots. He's a great player. You put Julian Edelman on the Patriots, a great player, and it doesn't always translate.
I think even a guy like James White is made for
James
New England.
White, absolutely. They find. I remember talking to the defensive end, the Dolphins cut. He played up there for 10 years. I'm drawing a blank on the guy.
What team?
For the Patriots. The Dolphins cut him. Jeff Ireland cut him because they said they were looking for a Larry Izzo type.
Yeah, right.
He played for 10 years. And he was a system fit for the Patriots.
You talking about Rob Ninkovich?
Rob Ninkovich.
That's
thank
right.
you.
That's who it
thank
was.
You. And Ninkovich, I talked to him after a game, and he's saying, yeah, the Dolphins told me, Jeff Ireland, when he cut me, said they were looking for a Larry Izzo type. And he said, I'm 250. I can't be Larry Izzo. And yet, he goes, the Patriots saw what I did, and they put me in their system, and it works.
I will say one thing. When you're told that you – and I heard Belichick talking about this before the game. If guys will stick with their responsibility, just real simple. Like if you have outside technique and your job is to make the play, don't allow it to get outside and turn it back inside. And I was like, it sounds so basic, and yet we were the worst at it. We had guys who were just freelancing, getting blocked in. Why are you getting in? And you know you got outside containment. I heard that a lot recently. And guys just either forgot their assignment, saw something that looked different, thought they could make the play on it, whatever it is, it wasn't responsible football. It was just freelancing. You can't win that way. I don't think they have a lot of mental mistakes. I think those guys do. I'm not saying they won't get beat. They do get beat. But it just seems to me they do what they're told. Just good old school. This is your job. If you do this job, we're going to have a real good chance to win. Trust the guy next to you. Be there. Get off your blocks and all that stuff, obviously. But
who do you think is more responsible, Joe? You Brady or Belichick? I think Brady's, well, no, I think it's 50-50.
I would agree. It's really close. But listen, Belichick is, for all this Nick Saban stuff, is the greatest coach, and who it is, it's not even close. Belichick, because Belichick's not going out able to get 20 first-round picks, second overall picks in the draft, the way the guy in Alabama is able to come down here and get three of our best players and go into every other community and get the top players and then have the number one recruiting class. Doesn't work that way. And as Romo said, and it was really good while he was talking about everything he's seeing, he goes, you know, it's amazing. Patriots don't pick 12th or 13th in the first round. Dolphins do. They pick at the bottom of the first round. A lot of his draft picks don't work out. A lot of them people don't see. He's got a guy that played rugby, did a great story on a guy yesterday that's playing linebacker for him, Ebner, who just an unbelievable story, what he's been able to do as a backup linebacker in Michigan. So, story's just unbelievable.
I think the highest the Patriots have drafted in this run is 10th, when they took, I believe, Dante Hightower. I have to look at it, but, or Jamie Collins, one of the linebackers. But 10th, I mean, that's, and usually they're drafting in the high 20s, you know, so it is an amazing, and that's why when people say, well, the Dolphins, they're never going to be able to rebuild unless they get one of those top five picks. No, you got to be smart. If you're not smart enough to find a quarterback somewhere else, if you don't have pick 1, 2, or 3, then you're not smart enough to build an organization around the quarterback.
I got news for you. I don't know what's going to happen, but Belichick's going to find his backup quarterback and the next guy to Tom Brady in this draft. You believe that, right?
He's going to find
somebody that everybody else said, I don't know, and then they're going to go, damn, Belichick liked him. We're sitting down.
So you
here.
Don't think there's any chance Belichick says six Super Bowls? I think I'll leave the field now.
I think he would be lost walking away from it, even though he's got that hot girlfriend.
You know, he said earlier in his life he's not going to be coaching in his 70s.
How old is he now? He's got to be
67.
He's getting close.
Let me look it up here.
He's getting real close. We got to go to break here, Dave, so we got a lot more stuff to get to. And we'll check in. Hey, DQ, you about ready to check in on some text messages on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line? 56022. We'll be back in a moment. But something I do want to talk about because it affects all of us, sports-related injuries. Sooner or later, they happen to everybody. And when they do, where do you go? And most people always ask me, Joe, I want to go where the pros go. Well, I don't blame you. Well, that's why I want to tell you, and I'm excited to tell you, where the Dolphins, the Heat, and the Panthers go. Where high school, college, and professional athletes go every day from around the country, not just here in South Florida, Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. Doctors like Uribe, Yagnick, V-Jack, Heckman, and Selznick. These guys are so good, man. You can go on and on. Some of the top hip and knee replacement doctors in the business, voted as top 10% in the country right here in South Florida. Some of the top specialists, and you can see those same ones that work on million-dollar athletes every day. All you have to do is visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. Matter of fact, got an office set up in Broward where I've been spending a lot of time recently. Dr. Swartzen's up there. You can go on and on. But know one thing. If you're working there, you're a damn good doctor. Remember the name, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables.
Outer on AM 560 and FM 96.5, HD2, WQAM.
Hey, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. A lot of stuff going on today, by the way. So if you're thinking, oh, after yesterday, what do we got? Well, NBA is all day. All day games going on in the NBA. Matter of fact, Panthers are back home tonight against San Jose. They've won two in a row after Trocheck came back. Trocheck might be what needed to get them going, man.
God, I hope so, because they were, I think they're still 12 points out of the playoff.
Their season
is pretty much sunk. But you could see the difference Trocheck made. And
that
God
much?
Bless. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
That much? It's just crazy. Well, speaking of crazy, yesterday had a little bit. If you need goats, both kinds, goats as in goat in a game and greatest of all time goat, you got to see both of them. D Ford got the other goat award yesterday, lining up offsides after Brady threw an interception and he got called back. And he lined up. He didn't jump. He lined up offsides. How the hell does a defensive lineman or a pass rusher line up offsides? Crazy. We had crazy challenges going back and forth, including the Edelman one. We had the mystery of Todd Gurley, one of the great offensive players in football. What pick is he in fantasy football usually before the year?
Number one or two.
One or two,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He had trouble getting on the field. He was just standing over. He dropped a couple of balls. And by the way, his body language, not that I go around reading body language, but his was.
You think McVay saw that? He said, I can't have him in the game?
I think he was on top of it because after the game, Todd Gurley was like really happy and emotional. I want to thank my teammates for he was all fired up. And they're like, yeah, we need Gurley in the big game, though.
I tell you, if so, that's a gutsy call by McVay to bench. Because I always thought Goff was a product of Gurley, in fact.
I did, too.
Because I don't watch the Rams all the time because we're watching the Dolphins. But I always thought, okay, Goff's okay. But and my opinions changed a little in
Goff
the playoffs.
Goff made some throws.
He did. Yep.
As he was going down, some throws out in the flats, he put right on the money that were very impressive at the end, where you couldn't pick him up on blitzes on the outside, and he somehow got rid of the ball. Not only got rid of it, completed some passes that were very, very impressive. So anyway, we got all kinds of stuff. I can't even imagine. The old text machine must be all over the place right now. You can join us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22-56022. All right, DQ, what did we got coming in today, man?
Before we get to a couple texts, we got some breaking news here. Adam Schefter just tweeted out a couple minutes ago, the Dolphins plan to hire the Packers' run game coordinator and inside linebackers coach Patrick Graham as their defensive coordinator. So Brian Flores has hired his defensive coordinator, Patrick Graham.
Okay, so that must have been in the works. So
huge Patriots background with him, too. Him and Flores worked together for years on the defensive side with the Patriots, so they know each other.
All right.
And the other thing is, on Martin Luther King Day, you look at the Dolphins, the whole league's going one way with hiring white coaches. The Dolphins' whole GM, assistant GM, head coach, both coordinators look to be African-American. It's very interesting that notable statement, especially on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I'll just take a step further, man. I'm all for just getting the best guy. I know some people are upset about so many white coaches being given jobs, especially with some of the background, some of the experience. It's not, doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good. And I guess you can hire whoever you want, but it doesn't look good. I'm glad to see a young guy that's having success get a chance to come down here and see how he does. And Chris Greer, by the way, is calling the shots. There's no more wondering, well, is this coming from Gase or is this coming from Mike Tannenbaum? No, no, no. Now Chris Greer's got basically full control to go, all right, Chris, this one is on you. Even the guys under you that are giving you the information, this is all about what you're going to do. By the way, the team leaves tomorrow. They're leaving for the Senior Bowl and start getting ready for that and see if they can find some guys that can help them. And then the other question is, there's a guy out there that 5'9 to 5'10, some people really like, some don't. And I just say this to Chris Greer, because I'm not Mel Kiper Jr. If you like him, take him. If you think he's the guy, take him. And if you don't, then you can build some other ways. But either way, you take him and he doesn't work out. Or if you don't take him and he ends up being really good in another system. And this is why, in my opinion, I always say this, Dave. I've been saying this for years. Why some GMs, if they're not 100% sure, no matter what's coming in, they know that stays on the resume more than anything else.
The missed quarterbacks? Well, that's been the fault here. I mean, if Kyler Murray at 5'10", he's a wild card. You know, I love him. I love him. Now, can he hold up in the
it's
NFL
It's
got to
be the
game?
Right offense.
Yes. You have to build your offense around.
And you got to get an offensive line. You can't just let him sit back there and just get punished.
You know what the other thing you probably need is another guy like him. I was thinking about Tyrod Taylor, a guy who has a similar, not exact game, but a similar game to him, a smaller quarterback who can run some and is a veteran. Because what happens if Murray gets hurt for a couple games, or you're going to need some?
You got to get a guy. Cleveland did a great job. They got Mayfield ready to go, and they got, as you said, Tyrod Taylor is a backup. They're in good shape.
What about Nick Foles? You any interest in him? 29-year-old. He's in this league game. He can play 10 more years.
Saying somebody's going to offer him $20 million. I think if you take him. First of all, I don't think he'll want to come here because he knows we're looking.
I agree.
Anybody looking for a young quarterback, he's out. He wants to play. He wants to go. Anybody out there think I can play right now, that's where I want to go. I want to be the starter. I want to do what I've done in Philly. I want to get in a situation where I can do some of that
stuff. But you wouldn't just bank on him and say, hey, we can build an offensive line with our number one draft pick, and we'll have all our draft picks. We'll have a quarterback for the next 10 years. You want that young rookie quarterback.
I do want to get – if you don't get it now, and I hope they're in – I hope they like one of these guys. I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's Missouri. I don't know if it's Duke. I don't know if it's Oklahoma. I don't know if it's Ohio State. Wherever those top guys are, you've – Chris going to have to – I always say this, put his big boy pants on one of these guys this year or next year. And you better have a game plan to still get through. You had an interesting article that you wrote last week about if we're going to be really bad, then put David Fells in there and just tell David.
Well, the article, it was a blog just based on Adam Schefter's report that the Dolphins are going to go for a quarterback in 2020, which I have absolutely no idea how Schefter.
Come on,
anybody
man.
Could be reporting that at this point. They haven't even done their work on this crap.
It goes back to the agents that represent coaches and represent
and
front office
who were
people
here and leaking stuff. And
those guys are all tied in. They all have the same agents. Some of the guys at ESPN and have the same agents as people with the Dolphins.
I don't think the report was sound. I don't think
he made it up.
I think he was told this from somebody.
But I'm
saying
yeah.
It doesn't pass the common sense test. They haven't even done their work for 2019's draft, and the report comes out. Oh, they're only going to look at the 220 draft for a quarterback, so they're going to skip this year. So, but my point was, if that report is true, and they're not even going to look at 2019 for a quarterback, then just throw in the towel. And I was just being sarcastic there.
Yeah, but I'm with you. Like your goal still is not to purposely suck. You still got to try to win with what you have. Just
look, if they're not good enough to find a quarterback without tanking and having to pick 1, 2, or 3 next a year from now, then they're not good enough to build a team around the quarterback, okay? They have to have faith in there, and I think Chris Greer does, and talking to people inside the Dolphins and you know, his who respect him and what he's done. So I don't think they'll be tanking.
All right, I hope not. It'd be a long – listen, we try to be good, and we've been bad to start with, so that's hard enough. Hey, DQ, we got a lot more stuff that we want to get to, man. We kind of got going there on that topic there and messed it up. We'll jump on it here coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, see what everybody's talking about on the Kendall Toyota. West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. Heat in action tonight on the road against Boston at 6 o'clock. Panthers, by the way, also at home tonight against San Jose. So all that stuff going to be a busy day here. All kinds of stuff from yesterday's two championship games as we're now set. Patriots and Rams, Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. But first, got to tell you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage Bank. Helping a lot of my second chance brothers and sisters out there. That's right. He's giving you a second chance because he wants to let you know no matter what your situation is, no matter hard times, great times, whatever you're going through, he wants to let you know, man, even sophisticated tax returns out there for people going, well, how do I get approved? I'm not showing enough income. Hey, listen, whatever your situation, Michael Kotze knows how to get you approved. He takes a lot of pride in it. He's been doing it a long time. It's all about finding ways to get you approved. He's got programs out there for everyone and every situation. Whether it's a reverse mortgage, condo mortgages, whatever it is, he specializes in a bunch of these. By the way, if you're 62 or over right now, need some equity quickly, this reverse mortgage is really popular right now, and he can get it done for you. He really can. He is just going the extra mile. He's been so good for so long. Also, for all veterans out there, he's got 100% financing for you. He's just doing so many things he specializes in. He's so good at. He wants to let you know it's all about getting you approved quickly, and he is really good getting you that money you need right now. He can do it for you, man. He's been doing this since 1994 with a AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 166254. Covering Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County is Michael Kotze and his staff at Choice Mortgage Bank. He'll text you or call you, 561-441-2730. Call him, 561-441-2730. I watched this guy work his phone the other day. He is amazing. He gets back quickly to everybody, even when I'm yapping to him. The guy's amazing. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage Bank.